This week, we're going to yeast your yeast. Every session will put more yeast in you. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And then next week, spit you out into the dough, and Australia will never be the same because of Influence 2008. Shout amen, somebody. I received 19 invitations for this 1 week to go other places. And I chose to come here because I like the spirit of that man. He believes in not preparing you to go to heaven, but preparing you to take over the community and impact the nation. It's about yeast in the name of Jesus. Shout amen, Paradise Community. So we're here to bring his kingdom influence. What is a kingdom? Here's my definition I gave you this morning. Write it down again. A kingdom is the sovereign rulership and governing influence of a king over his territory, impacting it with his will, his purpose, and his intent, producing a community of citizens that literally express and reflect the king's nature and culture and morality and values and lifestyle in that community. In other words, a kingdom is not a religion, it's a government impacting a domain, producing a citizenship that looks just like the king. You know, it's amazing, in the Bahamas, when we were colonized by the British, we began to look just like the British. We wear neckties and 90 degrees. We spoke the king's English. And we drank tea 4 times a day in 90 degrees Fahrenheit. And we drive on the left-hand side of the street. And we studied every king of England in school. We memorized every one of Henry VIII's wives, even the ones he killed. We memorized every play of Macbeth, Shakespeare. We studied everything. Why? Because when a kingdom colonizes you, its lifestyle becomes your lifestyle. So in the Bahamas, we know nothing about Africa. All we know about is England. That's how kingdoms colonize. They take away your history and give you a new one. When you come into the kingdom of God, God takes away your history of sin and degradation and abuse and depression and sickness and fear. And he gives you heaven's wonderful history of salvation and peace and joy and love and long-suffering and goodness and kindness. And you become a son of the living God. Give God a praise if you are in the kingdom of God tonight. Oh, I feel like running for my sanity. The kingdom, therefore, doesn't have members. It has citizens. Paul says your citizenship is in heaven, even though you are living on earth. You know me, I'm from the Bahamas, where God lives. And, you know, even though I'm in the Bahamas, I mean from the Bahamas, I am in Australia. But I am still a Bahamian. My location does not change my disposition. I am a citizen of the Bahamas, but I am in Australia. So I am in Australia, but not of Australia. So when Paul says, hey, your citizenship is not from earth, it's in heaven. Even though you are here, your official papers are in heaven.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministry. Living Word Ministry in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessing. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
It's KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message. Amen. Look at this one, Luke 2:40. Even as a child, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Hallelujah. So you see here that even as a child, as he grew, the Bible said Jesus was full of wisdom. Hallelujah. That means that Jesus never encountered a situation or a circumstance that he didn't know the will of God. He always knew. He always knew what to do. When they took that woman in adultery, they took her, caught her in the act, threw her down at his feet, and say, our law says, they threw the word on him. They put the word on Jesus. The law say, Moses say she should be stoned. What do you say? And I'm going to tell you, the wisdom of God kicked in. Start writing on the ground. And then he said this, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Boy, that was the wisdom of God. And all them people that was holding the rock, holding the stone, the Bible said from the oldest one down to the youngest one, had to drop their rock and had to back up. They had to get out of the way. That's the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Remember when they were crossing the sea and the storm came up and the boats being tossed to and fro and Jesus back there asleep? And they have used all of their human wisdom. They done dipped water out the boat. They done changed the sails. I mean, they done tried to get with the wind. They done everything they know to do. Finally, they done run out of options. They ain't got no more wisdom. Jesus! They did have enough sense to call on him, though. I give them credit. When your boat full of water and you about to sink, you better know you can call on the Lord. They woke him up. And he looked at them and said, where's your faith? Peace be still. And then the Bible said there was a great calm that came. And then they backed up and say, what kind of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. Why? He had the wisdom of God. He knew just what to do. He didn't say, wait a minute, y'all, let's pray. See, if I'd have been on the boat, I'd say, y'all, let's pray. I'd have said, hey, let's pray. Pray, pray, pray. Everybody pray. Pray or die. Pray. Jesus had the wisdom to say, peace be still. Shut up out there. Get quiet. Still now. What kind of man is this? That's what they ought to be saying about you at work. What kind of woman is this? What kind of man is this? Know what to do in every situation. Why? Full of the Holy Ghost, being led by the Spirit of God, doing things that don't look like going to work, but going to work. because the Holy Ghost told you to do it this way. And you got that wisdom. The wisdom is in the obedience. Hallelujah. You say, yeah, but that was Jesus. You know, somebody gonna always say, yeah, but that was Jesus. Then they don't even say his name right. That was Jesus. You know when they say that, they always say, yeah, but that was Jesus. You ain't him. Yeah, but he in me. I got him right here. His body's his temple. Oh, the same Jesus that walked the shore of the Galilee. Take a step every time I take one. Hallelujah. Oh, I got him on the inside. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm supposed to know I'm a son of God. What I don't know, I commit to him. Hallelujah. And what I need to know, the Holy Ghost is going to download it. You know how sometimes you don't know what to do, you're trying to figure it out? Then all of a sudden, it's like somebody flip a switch. Oh, me and Cece, we was praying about a decision, a financial decision we had to make. I mean, I wrestle about that thing over and over. I get all, you know, I'm a fact person. I get all the facts together. And I'm trying to figure it out with all the facts. But, you know, there's a fact in here that I can't figure out is the future. I didn't know what the future holds. I know what these numbers saying now, but I don't know what they're going to say 3 years from now. So I say, Cece, this is what we're supposed to do. And I'd explain it to her. I say, this is why we ought to do this here. We don't need to do this right here because if we do this, this is going to happen. But if we do this, this could happen right here. She said, okay, this sounds good to me. Then I say, yeah. But if I do that, this here could go wrong, though. And then I'd start figuring again. Then I'd come to it with a different thing. No, Cece, we ain't do that there. Because if we do that, this could happen. Let's do this right here. And then I'd convince her. She said, okay, that sounds good to me. Let's do that. And then I'd think about it a little more and I'd say, yeah, but if I do that, if I do that, if I do that, this here could happen. And then I'd go and I'd find something and I'd say, no, we can't do that because of this here. And then one day, this went on and on for, I don't know, a week or so. Finally, she said, listen, I just wish you'd make up your mind and just do something. I frustrated her. I realized when I first got saved, I had a problem with double-mindedness. I had two minds. I just had, you know, I just examine stuff too much sometimes. So what I did, I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know the future. So what I did, I got me an index card and put me 5 guiding scriptures on it that I could take around, put in my shirt pocket, and carry to work with me. And while I was sitting at a traffic light, I had one on my sun visor. I'd flip it down, and while I'm waiting on the light to change, I'd just start thanking God. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm a son of God. Steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. He will show me the path of life. Hallelujah. I'm quoting all these scriptures about guidance in the Bible. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads and guides me in green pastures. Hallelujah. So I just started doing that. I did that for a day or two. And then I remember one day I got to work and I put my sun visor up and boy, I done changed mine. My mind has switched. I'm a workman now. I mean, my mind on my job. I walked in the office and when I sat down in my chair, it's like somebody flipped the switch and said, do this right here. And it all made sense. I said, yeah, that's the answer. I said, why didn't I think of that? That was so simple. Lord, how come I didn't think of that? Well, it's pretty easy to know why I didn't think about it. I ain't him. So I got all excited about it. I said, that's what we're supposed to do. That's it. That's the answer. I wasn't even praying about it then. The answer just came. So I picked up the phone. I called Cece. I said, look, I know what to do. I said, look what the Lord showed me this morning. And I explained it to her. She said, that's right. That's God. That's God. That's it. I said, we got the answer. Glory to God. I said, we're going to go ahead and get it done. And then I thought, I said, yeah, but if I do that, then this. She said, didn't God just tell you stop all that? Because the anxiety of it was coming back on me again when I got back in the natural. And I said, oh, that's right. That's right. Oh, so Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I'm sorry. I ain't going to do that. I said, we're going to do this right here. And my peace came back. And we made the right decision. It's the wisdom of God. You have the wisdom of God in you. Because the Bible says that Christ has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1:30. He is your wisdom. So if he's your wisdom, you can walk in the wisdom. When you start walking in wisdom, you're walking just like he walked. Let me give you some other scriptures here. Look at what Jesus said in the last days is going to happen. He said, look, when you brought before people and people want to examine you, he said, don't think ahead of time what you're going to say. Listen to what he says right here. In Luke chapter 21, verse 15, he says, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. That's the same thing that happened to Stephen when he was being stoned. The Bible says that he spoke with such wisdom that they were not able to resist the wisdom by which he spoke. Why? Because they had put him on a severe trial. And he didn't have to think ahead of time what he was going to say. God gave it to him at that hour. And the Bible says they couldn't resist the wisdom by which he spoke. That wisdom is in you. You have access to it. See, you and I have God, right? So if God have wisdom, guess what? You have a part in that. There's some wisdom you're supposed to be walking in. Because you and I have God and a joint heir with Jesus. If Jesus have wisdom, then you're supposed to have some too. Don't live without wisdom. Walk just like he walked. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts 6:3, when they got ready to pick some deacons in the church, it said this here. This was the criteria. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So wisdom must be something that you can see and discern. Notice here, they're full of the Holy Ghost. There's another one of those characteristics. See, they're walking just like Jesus walked. They have honest report. They're walking in integrity. That's the way Jesus walked. They're walking just like Jesus walked, and the people that were around them noticed them, that there was something special about those seven. They said, these are men of integrity. They walk just like Jesus. They're full of the Holy Ghost, just like Jesus, and they have wisdom that they can handle this business. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How did Jesus walk? He walked in wisdom. He had the wisdom of God. And then the Bible tells us in James chapter 1, say, if any of you lack wisdom, do what? Ask of God, who does what? Who gives to all men how? So if you ask for wisdom, he's going to give it to you. He's generous. He's just waiting to give it. He got a load of wisdom waiting on you right now. God done already decided how much wisdom you need, and he's going to give you more than you need. He's ready to pour it on you right now. Let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. He said, look, I'll give it to you. I ain't going to hold it back from you. He said, and he upbraided not. That means he ain't going to fuss at you. Amen. See, some people won't ask because they're scared God going to fuss. You know, we learned that natural thing, you know. You know, like my daddy, we knew when to ask and when not. You know, if daddy was happy, we said, now it's time to get some money to go to the store. But if he's sitting in the chair with his arm crossed and his lip poked out, that's the wrong time to ask him for some money. Kids learn all that stuff. And then we try to apply that to God. We try to determine what God's mood is before we ask. Don't we? Don't we try to gauge God's mood? Did I do right yesterday? If I ain't did right yesterday, God probably mad. I ain't asking for nothing today. I've been in no disobedience. I ain't asking for nothing today. I know God got to be mad. I can't go to him asking for nothing. See, we don't learn that natural stuff. When the Bible says you're to come boldly to the throne of grace because you're his child. You have a right to be there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But then the Bible said, but let him ask how? In faith, nothing doubting. See, you can't come doubting. See, in other words, if you come and you're not believing God's going to give it to you, you disappoint him. Because that's saying that he's not going, you know, that he is the kind of person that might withhold. And God is most generous. Full of grace, the Bible says. Jesus, full of grace and mercy. Full of grace and truth. Amen. So what God is saying, look, don't come to me poor mouth. Like you got to talk me into giving you this. Y'all know what poor mouth is, huh? You know, Lord, you ought to help me because I'm having a hard time now. Lord, you see the trouble. You see the trouble. I'm coming up the rough side today, Lord. It's on the rough side. You need to help me because I just don't know what I'm going to do if you don't come through for me. Please, sir, have mercy. Please. Don't start calling your father, sir. I ain't never called my daddy, sir. I might say, yes, sir, but I don't walk to my dad and say, sir. Dad, I need some help. I come to get it because I know you supply all my need. Hey, I need some wisdom right now. I come to get it. Thank you. It's mine for the asking. I need wisdom to deal with this situation. That's why I messed up yesterday, because I didn't have no wisdom on this thing. If I'd have had some wisdom, I wouldn't have made that stupid choice. Go ahead and give me what I need so I can please you. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Hallelujah. How did Jesus walk? He walked in wisdom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what he did. Third one that I'm going to give you. We're going to shut down right here. How else did Jesus walk? Y'all ought to shout on this one here. He walked in divine favor. Hallelujah. He had the favor of God on him. How did Jesus walk? He walked in divine favor. Favor is the grace of God. And I found something else this evening about the scripture. You know the scripture says, come boldly to the throne of what? Grace. You can say the throne of favor. And not do it no disjustice. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find what? Grace to help. And when? Time of need. So when I have a time of need, that's my time to go to the throne. See, most people, when they have a time of need, they run from God. They start looking for human solutions. The wisdom of God say, all right, you got a need, go to God. He the source. Notice here that you need mercy with God, but the favor and the grace that you receive, that means that God will put favor on you so that there are people on in the earth realm that will come and help meet that need that you have. Mercy for your relationship with God, grace for your relationship with people. Hallelujah. It all comes from God. All right, let me give you scripture. I'm going to show you Jesus having a favor on him. All right? He has such favor on him. All right? Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So actually, favor can increase in your life. Bible says Jesus increased in it. That means he had some favor in him, but he kept growing in favor. You know, anytime Jesus needed something, he had the favor of God working in him. You know, that little boy that had the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, or was it the other way around? Did I say it right? 5 loaves and 2 fish. All right. When Jesus said, ask the little fellow for his lunch. That little boy didn't fight and wrestle with Jesus. Talking about this my mama stuff. This my mama lunch. What we going to eat if I give this to you? This all we got. You know what? There's such favor on Jesus that when he asked for it, the fellow said, sure, you can have it. Then guess what Jesus did? Used it and then picked up 12 baskets for it. And guess who got it? I know the little boy got his share to go home with it. You see the favor Jesus had on whatever he needed. When he's getting ready to go to the cross, he said, look, y'all come here. I got something you need to do. I need you to go get me a donkey from over yonder. If anybody asks you what you're doing, just tell them the Lord have need of it. Bible said they went and did exactly what Jesus told them. Hey, what y'all doing with that donkey out there? The Lord have need of him. Oh, okay, go on about your business. Go on about your business. Why? He had such favor on him. Favor just worked in every realm. When he needed to pay his taxes, he said, Peter, me and you need to keep peace around here, so why don't you go fishing? First fish you catch is going to have a coin in his mouth, but it'll be so valuable that it'll pay your taxes and mine. That's a favor of God. I mean, you say, I don't believe that's a favor. How many fish you caught had money in their mouth? It's got to be something. And he didn't have a penny in his mouth either, because you'd have threw that back in there. You know how some of y'all, he got a penny in his mouth. We don't need that. You'd have flicked that in the water. No, this coin was valuable. Man, look what I got. Look at this here. This is going to pay for me and Jesus. I bet you they had money left over. He had such favor on him. He walked in such divine favor. He didn't ever worry about anything. He even taught his disciples, hey, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about clothing. Don't worry about shelter over your head. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness and all these things. He's talking about material things. He said, they're all going to be added to you. Take no thought for tomorrow. He had such favor on him that he didn't worry about tomorrow. He never had a worry. You don't never find Jesus in the scripture sitting under a tree wondering about what he's going to do. You don't ever see him under the shade tree. Well, I don't know what to do. Y'all boys, get away from me for a while. Got to figure this thing out. You don't ever see him worried about nothing. He had such favor upon him. Favor with God and favor with man. Jesus loved people. There was so much love coming out of him that people would just give him anything he needed. Can you walk in that kind of favor? Sure you can. You got grace, don't you? The Bible says that we have received grace. Hallelujah. Grace is the unmerited favor of God, the unearned favor and blessing of the Lord. It's really a sin to worry about anything. I listened to somebody's testimony the other night on TV. They was giving a testimony about God, about how God blessed. I understood what they were saying, but they didn't say the right thing. They say, God told me, don't you worry about that, I'll worry about that. Did y'all get that? How many of y'all done say that? He said, the Lord told me, don't you worry about that, let me worry about that. See, that wasn't God. Because God don't worry. Sometimes we say, well, the Lord told me don't worry about that. He said, let him worry about it. No, that ain't God. Why? He don't worry. The favor of God can come on you. Now, you say, well, Pastor, how much favor do I need? I'm going to tell you something. God done provided more favor than you can use in a lifetime if you tap into it. See, your life, when you start walking like Jesus, there will be so much favor on you that favor will roll into the next generation. Favor will roll into the second generation. Your children and your grandchildren will reap the benefits of the favor that's on your life. Tell me you don't want to walk like Jesus. I won't be just like him. And I done found out that the scripture tells me I can be just like him. I can walk just like him, have just what he had. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say favor hitting the next generation? Oh, yeah. I done had my daddy's favor come on me. Amen. Just in the natural sense. I done had my daddy's favor. I done went places and they say, who your daddy is? I went to get a radiator fixed one time. Man, just kind of rough with me. Well, I knew that my daddy told me that here's where he got the radiators fixed. So when I went down, I said, you know, I think I got a leak in my radiator. Well, I don't know if I got time to mess with it today. Bring it back tomorrow, next day. I'm kind of busy right now. I said, okay, well, you know, I just thought maybe you might be able to help me today. You know, my daddy come by here and get his radiator fixed all the time. What's your daddy's name? Robert the Hatter? Oh, you Robert's son? Oh, pull around right here. So you got to know when to play the car, you know what I'm talking about? I said, I know my daddy got some favor around here, all them radiators he done brought here. There better be some favor for the next generation here. Oh, come on, I'll take care of you. Yeah, park your car over here. How long gonna take? Oh, I have it ready for you in 2 hours. You see what I'm talking about? Now, God is a God of favor. You his child. Now, don't you think some of his favor